From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in Psalm 119. The subject of this psalm is the Word of God, expressed in a number of different ways. As he expounds the teachings of this psalm, Dr. Cairns is emphasizing the theme of living clean in an unclean world. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Morning and Evening by C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Look at David's Lord and Master. See his beginning. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Would you see the end? He sits at his father's right hand, expecting until his enemies be made his footstool. As he is, so are we also in this world. You must bear the cross, or you shall never wear the crown. You must wade through the mire, or you shall never walk the golden pavement. Cheer up, then, poor Christian. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. See that creeping worm, how contemptible in its appearance. It is the beginning of a thing. Mark that insect with gorgeous wings, playing in the sunbeams, sipping at the flower bells, full of happiness and life. That is the end thereof. That caterpillar is yourself, until you are wrapped up in the chrysalis of death. But when Christ shall appear, you shall be like him, for you shall see him as he is. Be content to be like him, a worm and no man, that like him you may be satisfied when you wake up in his likeness. That rough-looking diamond is put upon the wheel of the lapidary. He cuts it on all sides. It loses much, much that seemed costly to itself. The king is crowned. The diadem is put upon the monarch's head with trumpet's joyful sound. A glittering ray flashes from that coronet, and it beams from that very diamond which was just now so sorely vexed by the lapidary. You may venture to compare yourself to such a diamond, for you are one of God's people. And this is the time of the cutting process. Let faith and patience have their perfect work, for in the day when the crown shall be set upon the head of the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, one ray of glory shall stream from you. They shall be mine, saith the Lord, in the day when I make up my jewels. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof.
Thank you.
that most of the rush of the holiday season has subsided, we hope you've had time to reflect on the true significance of Christmas, God's unspeakable gift of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. To that end, Let the Bible Speak has been offering a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to continue to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us toll-free at 1-866-LTBS. That's 1-866-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. The response to this publication has been most enthusiastic, so we encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while our supply lasts. Because of the demand, we must limit the offer to 2 copies per request. Order yours today. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes the 4th in a series of messages on the theme, Living Clean in an Unclean World. The text for the series is Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. The text for this message is verse 12, Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes, entitled, the sanctifying power of a worshiping and teachable spirit, this message presents three essential elements in living a clean life. The first is having a vision of the Lord's glory, only obtained by spending time alone with God in the Word and prayer. Dr. Cairns stressed under that point that merely reading through a number of chapters is not enough. In coming to the Bible, we must first of all seek to find out what it is teaching about God Himself. The second essential element to living clean is learning to praise the Lord as we see Him revealed in the Scriptures. Praise is closely associated with holiness, for praise is a sanctifying grace. Then we find that the third element in living clean is having a teachable spirit. The psalmist recognized that. So he first confessed his ignorance, and then he pleaded with God to enlighten his darkness. And now to bring God's word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
So not only is the vision of the Lord's glory essential to living clean in an unclean world, but praising God is essential to living clean in an unclean world. And then the last thing in the verse, the third great element in verse 12 is that a teachable spirit is essential to living a holy life, clean in an unclean world. Notice what he says, teach me thy statutes. Now that would be a text all on its own, did time permit. So I will sum it up. He starts with a confession of his ignorance. I don't know even what I need to know. This is what he's confessing. Lord, I don't know what I need to know even. I don't know the statutes of the Lord. I don't know the Word as I ought to know it. I don't know the specific passages of Scripture that are best for use in specific cases and times and places. But I need to know more than words. The world of difference between knowing words and being taught by the Lord, the statutes of the Lord. When the Lord teaches you His statutes, when the Lord teaches me His statutes, He does more than give us a memory for words. Oh, I pray God He'll give us that. But He's working that Word down into the heart. He's working that Word into the very fiber of our being. He's putting that Word within us so that it begins to govern, direct. It instructs the mind and it governs all the forces of the will. Teach me thy way. It's a confession of ignorance. I don't know it, but it's a cry for illumination. Lord, teach me. Lord, enlighten my darkness. Lord, give me the light of truth. Lord, give me the Word to dwell richly within me. Now let me just put this all in perspective. Seeing the Lord's glory, we will always want our mind, our thoughts, and our purposes to be conformed to Him. If you do not want your mind, your thoughts, your purposes to be conformed to Him, then you certainly have no real appreciation of the glory of God. But if we're praying, Lord, conform my mind to the mind of Christ, that's a prayer God has already answered. He's made full provision for it. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world. See, there are two sides to it. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A lot of people want the mind of the Lord. They want their mind to be conformed to the Lord, but they don't want to give up the mind of the world. Be not conformed to this world. Now, I'm sorely tempted to say, blow the watch and blow the time clock and go on a rampage here. We're living in a day, generally, when we have bred the most spineless bunch of wimps professing to be Christians in America and in Britain. Spineless bunch of wimps. scared of their own shadow. Somebody might say something about me. Oh, I would melt. So what? There are very few people willing to be nonconformists. There was a day when our nonconformist forefathers were willing to bleed and burn and die rather than conform. Our covenanting forefathers stained the heather bells of Scotland red with their blood rather than conform. And yet we have reached the place in Western Christianity where we have theologians out there. We have some of the brightest theological minds in America. And what are they doing? They're out there trying to prove it's all right to be as like the world as you can get. The old people, they were off the wall. They made a mistake. The Bible didn't really mean separate when it says, have no fellowship. Didn't really mean that. Come out from among them and be separate means cuddle up to them and hug them. I look at Muslim women in this country. I saw an interview with a young American Muslim girl. She was American by birth. She married a Muslim. She became a convert. She's got a high-powered job. Some of the Muslim customs do not sit very well in that job. Now, I believe her religion's all wrong. But I'm talking about the spunk. She goes in with her headgear, she's the only one. She's a very pretty girl, but she doesn't look pretty. And to the people in the office, she's crazy. They're going out to drink, she's going home to her husband. What does it matter who else in the world knows she's pretty if he knows she's pretty? That's her attitude. The calls for prayer are not very conducive to getting along in the workplace. As I listen to her saying, you know, I don't care what they say. This is my life and this is my belief. And she's willing to pay the price for it. And then I look at Christians. I don't want to be insulting. There's nobody can read the New Testament. Nobody can read 1 Corinthians 11 and believe the Bible and say that in public worship a woman shouldn't cover her head. Nobody can believe that. But why do they not do it? Because it's not in fashion. People would look at us. Are you one of those funny people, queer people, strange people? We can't even do that. Not even that. If we do it, we want to make it look as if we're not doing it. Then you come to the man. Go along with the flow. Most Christian men haven't had the guts to take a stand for God in the place where they work in decades. Most of them haven't opened their mouth for Christ among their unsaved workmates. Most of them are ashamed. When the rotten jokes and stories are going wrong, they just sing dumb. Gutless, spineless Christianity. Well, it may be gutless and spineless, I just wonder how much Christianity there is. Be not conformed. Be not conformed. Let it burn into our hearts and minds. Be not conformed to this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you cannot be transformed unless you're willing to be separated and not conformed to this world. Can't be done. So if we've seen His glory, we want our mind, thoughts, and purposes to be conformed to Him. If we see His glory, we want to know His will. We want to know what's pleasing in His sight. It's time to stop living our lives to try and please others and please the world. It's time to start living our lives in a way that will please the Lord. But if we want His will, where will you find His will? His will is expressed in His statutes. Now that sounds very legalistic. Oh, this legalism, the statutes of God, have nothing to do with us today. We're in the gospel. So you've now got this crazy logic. Sometimes it masquerades as reformed Christianity. I've told you again and again, it's deformed, it's not reformed. But you've got this crazy logic that we're redeemed by precious blood, washed from sins, set free to live in sin. Don't you believe it? Don't you believe it? In Psalm 37, we have this wonderful statement, the law of His God is in His heart. I've quoted before Spurgeon's inimitable comment on that verse. The law of His God is in His heart. And Spurgeon had this little note, in his head it puzzles. On his back it burdens. But in his heart it delights. That's the key. Teach me thy statutes. Because those statutes will always direct me to holiness. Psalm 19 says, verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right. The word means upright. Rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. His statutes always lead to holiness. So when we are teachable, He will direct our way. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. That's teachableness. And He shall direct thy paths. A teachable spirit, you know, is very simply a spirit submitted to know and do God's will. And without this, there's no grace to grow or live clean in an unclean world. Teachableness. You know, that's so important to have a humble, teachable spirit before God. It's so important that in the only place in all his voluminous writings that John Calvin ever gives any record of his personal conversion, because believe it or not, there was a day when preachers and writers did not make much personal comment. They were given to expounding the word. But Calvin makes only one reference, one record, to the conversion of his soul. And this is how he describes it. He said, the Lord made my heart teachable. That was the whole revolution. That's what turned him and the world upside down. God took this brilliant young lawyer, this brilliant intellect, this man who had before him a career mapped out, and God made him teachable. May God do it with us. Here then are the three vital necessities for living clean in an unclean world. We bow the knee before His Majesty. We open our mouths to sound His praise. And we humble our heart to receive His word. This way, and only in this way, can we live clean? in an unclean world.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.